Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stamos.
Hello, welcome to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stamos, and we're on Transformation Talk Radio. So today I have some exciting guests. We're going to be talking about belly dancing, teens, color energy, and the wisdom of the womb. So I hope you're having a great entry into 2011. You know, you made it through the holidays, and now it's back to work. So it's easy to get back to those usual activities, and we forget what we wanted to focus on, what we brought forward in our intentions and visions for the new year that we just put forward 1 week ago. So let's keep our focus on those so that we can really manifest them this year. The one way to keep your focus on your personal visions is to join us in Seattle this coming February 17th to the 21st at our 19th annual Women of Wisdom Conference. Our theme is Woman Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. And our special guests for the conference are herbalist Susan Weed, medical intuitive Carolyn Sutherland, firewalker teacher Peggy Dillon, and two other guests I'm going to be interviewing this month, Yvonne Oswald and Marsha Weeder. So you can go to www.womenofwisdom.org and read all about the conference and see all the special offerings we have. So today, my first guest is Ava, I'm probably going to say her last name wrong, Wynette.
It's Wynette.
Ava is an educator, an artist, activist, and healer. She teaches physics, chemistry, gender studies, and belly dance at the Nova Project. It's a small public high school in Seattle. She holds space for several youth-led social justice activities and organizations, and she has multiple degrees, but has learned more from young women than from academia. She's a visual artist, a writer, a musician, and a dancer, using these passions mostly for social activism rather than for profit. She's been belly dancing for 8 years and is a member of the Skin Deep Dance Troupe. She's also a sister of Perpetual Indulgence with the Abbey of St. Joan, where she spreads universal joy and expiates stigmatic guilt. So she lives in Seattle with her chosen family of humans, canines, and corvids. Now, corvids are the family of the crows, which I just love. I can relate to crows, too. She is going to be presenting a workshop for teens with some other leaders from our community, which is called Unveil Your Beauty, and that's going to be Saturday, February 19th. So welcome, Ava.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. So you create space for young women to heal. So I'm curious, how can one become an ally to our youth and really assist them in this healing that you're working on?
I feel like the one of the things I've learned very, like, strongly and over again in social justice activism and work that I do is that being a really good listener is essential to being a good ally. And it's actually when I really surrendered and let go of some of the ideas that I had and really tried to listen and hear what people needed, especially young women needed, that I was actually open and changed by their ideas and their stories, and it gave me a way to keep working for creating those kinds of spaces for them and creating safe space. So I would say listening is key, as well as another kind of piece that's really important is to recognize that sometimes you also have to stand up. So it's often like stepping back and really listening, but also standing up in spaces where maybe your dominance, like as an adult, I have lots of privilege. And so when I see youth's voices being shut down or ignored, I actually make the effort to stand up and be the more controversial voice that's out there and speaking and trying to create that space again. And constantly asking the question. So this issue that affects youth, why are we not talking to youth about it, for example? So.
Now we talk around them, or we talk to adult to adult about our kids and all the problems, but how many of us really spend the time talking and listening to them? And you're right, it's kind of like having to set our prejudices aside, or our assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
I bet we make a lot of assumptions of what we think teens are going through. Are you surprised sometimes?
I guess initially I didn't think it was as dangerous and exhausting as it is for young women just to move through a city like Seattle, which is a fairly progressive city, and especially around issues of gender and sexuality, a very progressive city. But these young women just getting to school can be a challenge because of constant harassment and unsafe situations on buses or people shutting them down. And even in public schools and progressive institutions, like I work at a very, very non-traditional high school, and there's still times where their voices are not heard in classrooms over kind of a more dominant male voice, especially in science classes. And it was actually
a young woman who
specifically asked me to look at my own teaching as a physics teacher to see how I am propagating and carrying with me the physics culture, which is definitely a very male and patriarchy-based culture, to really deconstruct that and start making space for the feminine and for voices who don't necessarily want to compete but want to participate, and switching some of those communication norms that instead of constantly privileging the loud voice or the aggressive voice or the dominating voice or the assured voice, but really honoring the voice that wants to look for solutions and collaborations and a collective answer, really opened that up and gave me space to hear their life experience.
So how do you do that? I mean, we do that even within our Council of Women Wisdom and running the organization. There, even with women, I know, I think probably it's even particularly harder. Perhaps the whole, boy girl thing in schools. I've read that, boys are more vocal. The girls kind of sit back and hold back, and we're kind of trained to do that. So what are your tools that you use to bring those quiet voices forward?
I think, because I teach a women's seminar, and in that we've developed a lot of very specific communication norms that really encourage people to speak from their own personal experience instead of, like, I think it's really common for people to say the phrase, well, actually, when they mean, I'm going to shut you down right now and I'm going to tell you what truth is, but it's a lot different when everybody in a space is held to speaking from their own experience. So I've read or I've heard or I've done this experiment in like a science environment, or even in a discussion of like literature or kind of art or any of those kinds of things, if people are really talking from who they are, it's a lot easier to make that space, and it's a much safer space because people are not purporting to know the truth or a truth or speak for other people. And I think those are ways that usually that gets shut down. I've done really basic role playing with women. So like when they've come forward and said, I'm on the bus and this really creepy thing keeps happening, and I just feel like I don't want to be rude or I don't want to be impolite, because that's part of that whole like training to be submissive, is like being okay with people making you feel uncomfortable. And so we've done kind of theater of the oppressed style, which is like Augusto Boole's theater, where we reenact the scene and people play different roles in the scene and try out different things in those situations, so that they're actually practicing and brainstorming together as a group of women, what are different ways I could have dealt with the situation. And I think that very literal practicing of having voice really changes when you're out in the world.
Yeah, and it's good to practice that. That's one of the things we do at Women of Wisdom, is practicing that circle model. One thing we do is just ask, what are some other, when you get that loud voice, and it kind of shuts people down. They think, oh, okay, we can't do this because so-and-so doesn't like it, when everybody else wanted to do it. And you just a simple question of how do others feel opens up the door for more dialogue. So I know that's one way we've done it. So Also, I'd like to talk about bodies. Now, youth are, you mentioned youth are disconnected with their bodies. Do you find it more so than before, or is it just kind of, or people in general?
I find people are feel. I mean, when I talk to students, I hear over and over again language where their life experience is really related to technologically mediated experiences. There's this funny expression that they use, IRL, in real life. And that to me is this indicator or symptom of the fact that they have this huge experience in life that's connected through the internet to other people, but isn't actually real. Like, so there isn't, it isn't real connection. It is this kind of mediated through social networking or through reading each other's blogs. And some students will spend like up to 6 hours a day doing things like that. I mean, maybe even more, but like that's like some of the reported numbers that I hear from teenagers these days is that they're spending a lot of time not actually out doing things and not hanging out with each other, but actually communicating via a computer. And so their experience then becomes this kind of semi-artificial, not humans inside of their bodies, being around and being with other humans.
And so that actually, it takes them out of their body because they're not really fully engaged in life.
Yeah. And I feel like we see a lot more depression. We see a lot of hopelessness. Mm-hmm. They're looking at our students are aware of the environmental, like youth are aware of the environmental crisis that we're in. And they're just kind of spinning their wheels trying to find hope. And they really want some hope, but it's very hard to find that when they aren't doing some of the very like human creation cathartic things that like evolutionarily we've been doing forever, like making our own clothes, making our own food, building shelter, and sometimes getting them just physically back into experience and creation is hope giving, and it releases in them this sense that they do have some control over their world, and it's not all this kind of created by someone else, pop-up window, drama about minutia kind of artificial world that they spend a lot of time in.
Yeah. Well, there's so much we could talk about, and our time's up now. We're going to have to talk again, because thank you so much for all the work that you do working with the young people and the gender issues. So thank you for being on the show, Ava.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited you're going to be at the conference. So you're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Danis. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk to Leah Denmark about the power of color to transform your life. We'll be right back.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com. The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit reservage.com and feel vitality today. you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network.
And Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great. We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I have Leah Denmark now with us. Leah is the founder of Vibrations of Light, a revolutionary image consulting company that is lighting up the world with the living energy of color. Her holistic products and services are designed to rebalance the energies of the body, mind, and soul, awakening everyone to the power of color energy. Leah learned early in her life to view color as a form of living energy capable of influencing thoughts, feelings, and perceptions, and she's worked for over 20 years as a professional career counselor and image consultant. She has seen firsthand how color can make it easier for a person to express their authenticity and live their life purpose, as well as how color can be used to transform the future in the blink of an eye. She will be giving a workshop at Woman of Wisdom Conference in February, on the 19th of February, called Transform by Awakening Your Color Energies. Her website is www.vibrationsoflight.com. Welcome, Leah.
Well, thank you, Chris. What a nice intro.
Well, it's that great work you do. So I would imagine this work about color requires some intuition on your part to see what colors will work for a person. Can you talk about how you do that?
Well, that's a very good question, and yes, that it does require some degree of intuition, but it's also actually a matter of a bit of science and art kind of combined. Working with color, you know, color is light, and light is energy, and the result is that energy from, you know, we receive energy from the colors and work with color energies to express ourselves and to achieve our life purpose. So, there are ways that we can take a look at color energy in a person, starting with their body and the coloring of their hair and skin and eyes, but it goes way beyond dressing for success, the old paradigm of looking at color as, you know, a way to enhance, you know, your physical features. It goes into the emotional and mental and spiritual aspects of our lives. So, you know, using your color energy can help you achieve true success and abundance in your life. And, you know, oftentimes we don't even realize that we are affected by negative influences of colors. And so we need to remove those roadblocks and those obstacles from our color energy field in order to really live a life that offers us fulfillment on deeper levels than, you know, just the physical realm. So, yeah, it's an intuitive process, and it's also, you know, something that starts on the physical level, but goes a lot deeper.
Oh yeah, I mean, because you're really truly tapping into their energy in the core who they are. So I'm curious, does everyone have a dominant color that if we discovered that it could change our lives? Is there one color in particular? Like, okay, you've met me. Mm-hmm. You know, is there a color that stands out? Chris is purple. are we a combination?
Well, you know, there are colors of the personality, and one of the things that I offer is a color personality assessment that is basically an online assessment. And what we do with that is take a look at, you know, the choices that a person makes in life and their priorities in life and the ways that they are expressing their soul purpose, and then attaching meaning to that through the energies of color, because each color certainly does have, you know, a life of its own, so to speak, and color energy. So look
looking at you, Chris. You know, right off the bat, I would first start with the physical level and take a look, you know, at your hair color and your skin tones and your eye coloring. And then, we would work with the color personality test to take it to the level of the personality. And then we would actually take it a little deeper, get a sense for the coloring in your chakras, the color energy in your body, and the aura field or the energy field surrounding your body. And so it's really kind of an in-depth process that, you know, takes some attention and, you know, applications of what each of the color energies are. So that's what I do with people, but it takes, you know, a couple of hours to kind of get through each of those levels. It's kind of an in-depth process that helps to create, you know, the color energy field of a person and help them harmonize and resonate with their environment and create the results that they're looking for in their lives.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, because, there is the longer processes, but perhaps there might be a simple exercise you could share with our audience, like at, you know, maybe to look at how colors could enhance their life or pick them up. They're having a kind of low-key day or, you know, feeling a little depressed. I mean, sometimes I just go, okay, like I have a red vest on today. You know, if I want to wake myself up, I'll put on a color. So is there something you could do, like looking in the mirror and just and tapping into a color? And how do you tell people to enhance it, to strengthen it?
Well, different colors, those are very good questions. different colors certainly do carry different energies. And looking at the chakra system, for example, the crown chakra is predominantly a violet in energy. And then the going down the chakra system, we would look at each of the chakras to see which energies you're expressing and which energies may be lacking or deficient in your color field. So if you're wearing a red vest today, that is just awesome. That's the root chakra. That's a creative color, and it's actually a color about staying grounded and, you know, making sure, you know, you're heart-centered and your mind is clear. It's just a matter of physical strength and vitality. But starting up at the crown and going down, violet energy starts at the top of the head. And if you were interested in bringing in more spirituality into your day or, you know, really achieving inner peace, violet would be a really great color to work with. And then the energy of the brow or the third eye chakra would be indigo, and that color would stimulate imagination. So if you needed a creative moment, you know, if you're writing a book or, you know, you're working with people and it requires artistry or some kind of imaginative activity, that indigo color would be wonderful to enhance. And then going down to the throat chakra, the throat chakra color is predominantly blue, and the throat chakra is all about communication. So, you know, writing a book or making a speech or working as a radio personality or a television personality, those people could really benefit from using blue to enhance their communication skills. Or if you were in a day where you needed to do some speaking, you know, wearing blue somewhere and in certain ways. And those are the things that we would go into further, you know, in one of my assessments is how you could wear these colors, where you should place them. Should it be in an item of clothing? Should it be your entire outfit? Should it be just in the use of jewelry or in certain gemstones? Could it be just, you know, quietly tucked away in some fancy underwear to give you energy all day from afar, or, you know, ways to use the energy so that it would you would know it was there and you could tap into it as needed throughout your day. Going down the heart to the heart chakra, that heart chakra is predominantly a green energy, and it's all about love. So, you know, on a day that you needed to feel more self-nurturing or to express love with your family, your loved ones, green would be a good color to bring in to whatever you're wearing in those ways that I just mentioned, or even to bring in green in your environment, whether it's your office, your home, you know, environment, or wherever you might be, green is really great to enhance the quality of love. And going down to the solar plexus, the predominant color there is yellow, and it's all about action and results and achievement. And then moving down to the spleen area, the color there of that chakra would be orange. And that has to do with the sex drive and, you know, those kinds of things that would be creative in life. Not always about sex, but really about creative energy and the world, you know, with your vitality, and it brings in great joy and great passion into your world. So that's kind of an overview of what the how certain colors could possibly be used to enhance, you know, your life assignment for the day.
Oh, that's a lot of information. So what about, are there different colors particularly good for men or women? Mm-hmm. Do you find any gender difference?
Well, you know, light is something that feeds us as humanity, and it is something that isn't really broken down into sexual areas. However, there are colors that, and I like to help people identify three primary colors to enhance the romance in their lives, and it would really involve all those levels that we've just been talking about, the mind, the body, and the soul, to find those colors that are unique to that person that would help them, you know, express their sexuality in healthy ways, whether it's courage, whether it's creativity, whether the love energy or the communication energy, you know, all of us have those issues as men or in certain areas of sexuality that would be nice to enhance. So I don't think that it's broken down, though, to male or female particularly, because we as human beings all have similar needs.
So. Yes. Well, there's so much that, you know, like you said, it can enhance your mental, your physical, your spiritual, and your emotional life. So I want everybody to know Leah will give to the first three callers a free online color energy personality test along with a 15-minute private phone session, and that is valued at $250. So the first three people to call, the number is 800-930-2819. 800-930-2819, and Leah's website is vibrationsoflight.com. So thank you so much for joining us today, Leah. It's interesting to learn so much about color.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been very fun.
Great. Okay. Now, I'm Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. When we come back, we will talk with Shauna Holm about divine feminine power.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com. The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
You are a wondrous expression of God, Source, Spirit, Universe. How do you let this be fully realized in your everyday physical life? Oriella coaches and teaches people how to awaken their spiritual power. She also releases and replaces what is limiting and holding them back. Her no-nonsense, logical approach allows you to fully and easily understand how you can live life more fully, more abundantly, more powerfully by awakening to your spiritual power. For information, visit awakentoyourspiritualpower.com.
The average American spends $16 a day on food, and statistically, 2 out of 3 are considered overweight. With the Take Shape for Life program, you can not only shed those extra pounds on your way to living life at optimal health, you might be surprised to actually save money doing it. Talk to a Take Shape for Life certified health coach who's lost the extra pounds and listen to the passion in their voice and to the story of their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and now I have Shona Holm with me. Shona is an author, spiritual guide, and healing practitioner who fosters new paradigms and awakens self-healing. She's the author of the books Ishel Wisdom, Seven Teachings from the Mayan Sacred Feminine, and she has an upcoming book, Woman Remembered. Shona hosts monthly full moon ceremonies and new moon ceremonies, and she has a radio show, Ishel Wisdom with Shona Holm, which focuses on divine feminine wisdom. She has studied and traveled with many master teachers and shamans and has received a number of initiations. She seeks to empower women to become the unbridled, unfolding jewels of the feminine that they came here to be. Her website is www.shonahome.com, and that's S-H-O-N-A-G-H, home.com. Shona is going to be giving a workshop on Monday, February 21st, called Ishel Wisdom, the Magic of the Womb, and that's at our conference. So welcome, Shona.
Thank you, Chris. I'm so happy to be talking to you. It's so great to connect with you in this way.
Yeah. So you work with the blood mysteries and the magic of manifesting with the womb, using those energies of creation that reside in that sacred part of the woman's body. So tell us first, who is Ishel?
Okay, Ishel is the Mayan cosmic mother. So she is considered to be the mother of the earth and the moon. She's the mother of fertility. She's the mother of all the healing waters. And she is, you know, there's all this talk about the end of, or the 2012, and everyone's interested in the Mayan culture from that perspective. But she represents this very feminine dynamic. And this is what I feel is this energy that we're coming into, is this rise of the sacred feminine, but to take her place with the sacred masculine, like the two coming into balance together. So I discovered her on a trip. I work with a shaman in the Yucatan named Miguel Angel Vergara, and it was during an initiation that I experienced in the sacred caves of the Maya with Miguel and another shaman, where they had sort of formally introduced me to her. And ever since then, I have been receiving messages from her, and they're very affirming, very positive, very loving, and I put them together in my book, Ishel Wisdom, Seven Teachings from the Mayan Sacred Feminine. It's really like a love letter for women.
Oh, that sounds great. So what more can you tell us about this, the message that you get for women from her?
Okay, well, the messages, I feel, really bring us back to the self-love piece, which I think is something that we have forgotten in this society. We're in such a hyper-masculinized society, and it's still very patriarchal, based on hierarchies, and women are just go, 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 go. We're suited up and we're out in this workforce. And there's so much of the feminine principles that I feel have been left behind. And I think women are struggling with that. And, you know, we even have now a pill that you can take to prevent you from menstruating monthly. So I feel the message here is a returning back to the sacredness of our bodies and of the principles, the feminine principles of community. And I'm not speaking here to some government agenda community. I am talking about real community that we used to have, where people knew each other, people took care of each other. Women are just amazing in that way, and I think we're hardwired really for compassion and, you know, for relating in that way. So there's that, and really the book is a series of beautiful rituals, things like sacred bathing, and this is something I've never done. I've always been like a shower person, in and out real fast, but like taking the time to really honor you and come back into the temple of the self and kind of really get away from this whole sort of collectivist corporate thing and really return to the sacred, precious temple of the self, of the feminine. So does that answer your question?
There's a lot there to talk about. So you mentioned like the community. I mean, it's so hard. We live in kind of our isolated homes. It used to be, well, when I grew up in the 50s, we were connected to all the different families in the neighborhood because the kids kind of connected the parents.
Right.
And now, you know, there's fewer kids. So, like, I don't know that many people in my neighborhood. I know the, you know, older woman next to me and, you know, a couple people. But everybody's busy, busy, busy working, come home, and then we're isolated inside our home. And so it's hard. Where do you go to create this community?
Right. Well, and, you know, it's interesting because I live in Redmond, Washington, and I'm from New York, originally New York City. So I've used to just that just buzz of people and getting together all the time and it's so different out here. So I made a concerted effort here in Redmond that, you know what, I'm going to create community. It's that if you build it, they will come kind of thinking. And so I started Full Moon Ceremonies for Women, and this was almost, it was very experimental, and I just sent out an email to a bunch of people that I knew, and I really figured we'd have three or four, and it would be this lovely, intimate deal that we do once a month. And 17 women came to my first full moon ceremony. So, and these are like circles for women to gather, and ever since then, I have an average of 25 to 35 women monthly come. So clearly there is a hunger for women to come together and create this community.
Oh yes, definitely. And I'm part of different circles here that, you know, going to the full moon or new moon, it's just, it is a community. You sit together in circle and share, and whatever, who's ever planned it kind of has some activities and, you know, a ritual and various things, but it's very meaningful, and you really connect with people, which we just miss in our world, you know, our busy lives. It's missing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned one of the things that I want to go back to. You mentioned, women having to, you know, setting aside their feminine and having to live in this, patriarchal, hierarchical, masculine world, you know, especially if you work for companies or corporations, you're kind of forced into this mold of being a certain way, this expected to be. And so you let go of these, our feminine attributes that which would actually enhance the whole work experience, would enhance the company if they had put a value on those.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think women are kind of slowly bringing those principles in, and even the concept of the circle, you're seeing more other kind of institutions using the concept of the circle and people sharing in that way. It's much more egalitarian, I think. And again, not coming from like a Marxist mentality, because I think that is insane, but just that concept of how much each individual and how integral each individual is to the whole. And corporations are set up in more of like a pyramid type deal, right? It's very hierarchical. And I don't think women naturally come from that space. I think we are much more communal and have that spirit of sharing. Now, we're not conditioned to do that, because in the society, I think our role models are pretty pathetic. I mean, we've got a few good ones, but there's still, when you look at sort of the popular media and what young kids are watching on TV, I find it just quite devastating. And this is also with these circles, I feel it's really important to include young women in these circles. And this is something I do too. I have new moon ceremonies for women and young girls from age 10 and up, because I think it's really important that we come into our wisdom and then act as mentors, not just on like a corporate level, but for the kids around us, who I think are really hungry for that level of sharing and engaging. And it's very intimate, don't you think, when you're in circle? I mean, you're talking about really meaningful subjects as opposed to just sort of getting together to gossip or shop or whatever.
Yes, so I'm curious, are you getting a lot of young women? Because sometimes it's hard to attract them, but they yearn for it, but getting them there is another thing.
It is, but, you know, every month I do, you know, we end up with 6 to 8 young women every month. And also, because I hold these ceremonies on the night of the new moon or the night of the full moon, then, you know, sort of whoever can come. It's like you can't come every month because, oh, we have this activity on Tuesday. But there's always a bunch of people who can come. And, again, it's also just putting the word out there. And it's the mums talking about their experience to other friends and also the kids. And that can be really effective. And it's been great because I have two daughters, 10 and almost 13. So they experience this and it's really affirming for them. And they don't think I'm so weird anymore because they see other kids coming with their fabulous moms. And,
That's great. And it's great to witness the girls and watch them grow. I mean, it really empowers them. I witnessed there's a teen group that Linda Wolf puts on in Bainbridge Island, and I've witnessed those girls are so strong leaders that they learn to find their voice.
Yeah.
And feel that confidence of speaking without worrying about other people are going to judge them for what they say, or they can't say it because it's not going to be acceptable, or they feel foolish. You know, all the reasons that we shut down our voices, that having, you're right, being mentors is very important. And that's why I work strongly and talk about women's voices and teaching, you know, I don't teach it, but I talk about it of getting out there and learning how to speak up and say what you believe and say what you're feeling, because we need to be visible to the young girls so they see women are powerful. Women do have a voice. Women's voices are respected and honored. And so they get that message that
right,
they too
and also create a safe container for them where they can show up and they can share their truth and they can be seen and regarded with respect. I think it's so important. And also, so we can model for them women who are working together really beautifully, who get along really beautifully, because they get modeled a lot of, like, the worst characteristics of the feminine,
you
can imagine.
And there is this competitiveness, and we have to learn to let go of that. There's room for everybody. We all have our gifts, and we've been, in this patriarchal world we live in, it's kind of taught us to be competitive.
Well, we're conditioned to come from a place of lack. And
yes.
Really, that's the bottom line. So if you're coming from that place, you're going to see everybody as in the way, you know? So anyway, but I do see, like, the work that you're doing, that I'm doing, that so many of the women are doing, particularly the women that you've put together for the Women of Wisdom Conference. I just think this is so desperately needed. So.
Yes, and women are, I see women more and more, and there's so much going on. The internet's really bringing us together too. There's these women's teleconferences. So if you just go on a website, if you're feeling the need, I'm talking to the audience out there, if you're feeling the need to connect and learn about these things, just check in, on the internet. Google, you know, women's teleconferences. There's lots of free things out there where you can really learn a lot and connect with the community and start circles in your own city. So there's so much out there for people to do. Well, I want people to know that Shauna is giving a copy of her book to first person who calls, Ishell Wisdom, Seven Teachings from the Mayan Sacred Feminine, and also a companion meditation CD with music from the mystical harpist Ani Williams. And Ani was at Woman Wisdom before. She's a wow person. So call 800-930-2819 if you want to receive the copy of the book. This is Chris Stanis. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, Shauna was going to share about the magic of the womb.
Chris Stanis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Do you ever get so frazzled you find it difficult to function? Many people are experiencing more stress and fear than ever. When we react from this place of fear and stress, we end up damaging relationships and creating more grief in our lives. Lynette McKenzie has a solution for you. The Energy Emergency Toolkit. 10 easy tools to go from frazzled to fantastic in 5 minutes. Visit openlivenow.com and download your free Energy Emergency Toolkit and go from frazzled to fantastic now.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at Reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit Reservage.com and feel vitality today.
Well, welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. I'm here with Shauna Holm. So, Shauna, can you give your contact information to our listeners?
Yes, of course. My email is shauna@shaunahome.com, which is my website, and always the spelling is an issue. It's spelled S-H-O-N-A-G-H, and then home, H-O-M-E. So shauna@shaunahome.com. And contact me. I would love to hear from you. And then I have also classes listed on my website, and I have a long-distance course also that is listed.
Oh, great. So that's available to anybody all over the world. That's the great thing about the Internet. So let's talk about the magic of the womb, because that's the workshop you're going to do at the conference. Tell us a little bit about the magic of the womb.
I will. You know, the first real transmission that came through when I was working with the Ishell energy was on the womb. And it was on manifesting with the womb and talking about how the womb is for more than just the creation of a human being, which in itself is an extraordinary miracle, but that it's essentially the microcosm of the macrocosm being the great void where all of creation is birthed. And we have that energetic as women within our wombs. So that there is a way where you can focus on that energy. And she came through with a whole ritual of essentially coming up with an intention and thinking of it as a seed and planting that seed energetically within your womb. And that you're really like working on an energetic level alchemically. And our womb anyway is just this amazing alchemical vehicle. And so you're working energetically and you have that seed in there. And then you act as if for yourself you are pregnant. So essentially you are growing this intention within your womb and you're utilizing those creative energies, which every woman carries. And I also want to be quick to say that it doesn't matter if you have had a hysterectomy, because as we know, people who've had limbs removed, they can still feel the energy of that limb, yeah? So that energy is still very much present within you. So this works for women who've experienced that as well, absolutely. And then you choose a date on which you want to actually birth this energetically, this intention, and then you find a sacred space, preferably in nature. And that's a whole other piece in terms of the energies available to us, the spirits that are always there that we can engage out in nature that most people are so cut off from in the society, right? They're glued in front of their TVs or computers. But in any case, so you go out hopefully into a place in nature and then quietly and in a very honoring way, birth it into the earth. And then it's like you use the earth as your midwife. So it's this very involved, very beautiful piece. And again, taking us back to coming more into engaging in more ritual and sacred ways of approaching that which you want to create on the planet in your life. So the womb is, there's a lot going on there that just no one's taught us, because we don't live in a society where young girls are initiated, or young boys. That's a whole other topic. But there's no rites of passage, really true rites of passage and initiations in that way, where you have these older wisdom keepers telling you of these mysteries and initiating you into them. So, and all of that, I feel, is coming back, and so many different people are bringing it through in so many powerful ways. It's just like seeping into the consciousness. So it's very exciting, and I just think this is a huge self-esteem piece as well, because I certainly never thought of my womb in that way at all. And when that came through, I was like thinking, my God, I'm coming. This is, feels like a matriarchal ancient teaching. And,
I love that. I remember I was at a workshop at WOW with Margot Anand, who does a lot of work on sexuality, and she used me as an example, but she said, like, I was pregnant with Woman of Wisdom. It was our ninth year or whatever, so it was like there was this symbology of being pregnant, ready to burst this creation, and I've been doing, you know, carrying that. Well, we're in our 19th year, and I still feel pregnant, but I kind of forgotten that, because we do these exercises where we do these intentions and these visions, and they're kind of, we're up in our head in this Western world. So I love it that you're bringing it into this womb place, and the idea of planting the seed in our womb, that's such the feminine way to do it. And of course, why not? You know, to the power of that, I love that. And to choose a date and go out in nature and, That's a great way to do it. I've done it a lot with creating through an intuitive process of vision boards. And this year, New Year's Day, we did it on a candle. You know how you paste things from magazines and words and pictures and kind of create your intentions. And we did it on a candle so I can light the candle. So now I have this new image that I can hold that in my womb too. And I hope others will use this too for themselves, because I think it was very powerful. It really grounds you into that feminine energy.
Exactly. And my guidance has been coming in so powerfully lately, saying no props. You don't need props. In other words, we have this extraordinary biocomputer, our body, and our mind is like a quantum computer, and then our heart is like the Holy of Holies temple. And so it's all at our fingertips, really. It's all within and without the body, I feel. I think that's such an important piece. And, of course, as you know, when you're pregnant, you are thinking about that baby, and your mind is about how you're going to take care of it and what room you're going to put and how you're going to create and this and that. So it's like if you transfer that to whatever that intention is, and that level of excitement and emotion and expectation, it's powerful for manifesting. It's really huge. I mean, it's so available to us. I think that's what women have to remember. So we all have this ability.
And when you're talking, I have this whole thing of like, yeah, and you're going to get morning sickness. Well, yeah, you go through all the stuff when you're working on your visions and trying to manifest them. You go through some, you know, there's a good analogy there.
It'll bring up, depending on what you want to bring manifest, it can bring up your whole thoughts over, do I deserve this? And so, yeah, that's very true. You can think of that almost as the morning sickness. And that's great, too, because then, you know, that comes up for healing. You can take a better, more deeper look at that.
Yes, that's great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Shauna.
Oh, my pleasure.
And for your wisdom of the womb. So I want to thank my guests today, Ava Wynette, Leah Denmark, and Shauna Holm, for talking with us today. And they are going to be sharing their gifts February 17th to the 21st in Seattle at the 19th Annual Woman of Wisdom Conference. You can read the full schedule on our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. And you might want to check our website, because sometimes we have some specials. So I want you to consider joining us. It's an experience. It's not your normal everyday conference. So I'd like to leave you with this thought today. To listen to the young voices, give your support as they deepen into marvelous people, especially girls. Help them find the honor and respect within of their feminine nature by being yourself, expressing yourself in that divine feminine body of yours. This is Chris Stainis. I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. If you'd like to contact me, you can go to my website, www.wisewomanpublishing.com. I'm the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. You can find that on our Women of Wisdom website. When you purchase there, it benefits the organization, which is a nonprofit organization. And through the book, you can experience the many voices of the divine feminine. There's art and poetry and all sorts of wonderful stories in there. Sign up for the monthly newsletter on our website as well. So if you're in Seattle, I want to invite you and join us to the Women's Ecstatic Dance. It's 8 o'clock. And tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we have our Community Connections Workshop Day on Transitions and Forgiveness. Both of these are at Standing Stone Healing and Arts at 943 North 89th Street in North Seattle. So thank you for tuning in to Voices of Women. Join me next Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific Time. We'll have conversations with more powerful women to inspire you. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.